Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Dr. Van Beek.
Don't you forget it.
Yeah. Well, we are New Testament now, baby.
We pull out the doctorate like it's a sword to go slashing through the jungle. My friend, it is like I've always said, it's so good to see you. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
But I should also say we're in the New Testament, like you foreshadowed just earlier, but we're talking about Galatians tonight. Anything you'd like to do to introduce that?
Well, I don't think we foreshadowed it. I think I did it as a soliloquy, didn't I? I stood off on my own. And
Yes, I believe you did, sir. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you for that literary reference that we both used. So Galatians, Paul, it's a book written by Paul. And as you know very well, Steve, that if you read different commentaries, there's not a book that Paul wrote that there isn't someone who said it wasn't Paul that wrote it.
Poor guy. Seriously, no, I wrote this one. Seriously, I wrote this one.
That's why I said Paul an apostle. But they'll always say that it was written by one of his disciples or someone that knew him very well or something like that. But most and all conservative scholars and most scholars will say that Galatians was written by Paul. And I will anyway. So this was a book by Paul, and it was to the Galatians. There are two theories. They call it the Southern Galatian theory and the Northern Galatian theory. And it has to do with which churches this letter was intended to be circulated to. And the Southern theory puts it earlier. I think it puts it around 51, 52.
Okay.
The Northern theory will put it 52 to 57 or 53 to 57 in that area. But everybody agrees that it was written to some of these churches. It was meant to be circulated, and that it was written in the early 50s by Paul. Okay. So you figure Jesus probably died on the cross AD 30.
Okay.
If he was born 4 BC, and he died around at the age of 33, then it was probably, you know, AD 29, 30 that Jesus died. And so if it was 30, then this is about 20 years after Jesus died. So the church has been spreading and growing. Peter has been doing his thing for quite a number of years already, and now Paul's coming on the scene. And Paul then wrote this book to them. The purpose of the book, we feel, was that there were Judaizers in the church. And that's a term you'll hear oftentimes in New Testament studies about basically Jewish Christians. A lot of people think a lot of these guys were probably Pharisees, became Christians through the Pharisaic sect, who felt that being a Christian was a wonderful thing and that accepting Jesus was the right thing, but that they still pulled along some of their following of the law with them. So he's talking to people that felt like Christians should still be circumcised and still, you know, follow the Sabbath and other Jewish regulations. And Paul was trying to say no. And if you go back to Acts chapter 13, 14 is where he was in this area.
Okay.
Acts chapter 15 is when the Council of Jerusalem met. And remember, Paul was there and Peter was there, and they had a little bit of a tiff.
Yeah.
And but James, the head of the church, not the apostle James, the brother of Jesus, was the head of the church, and he came back and said, "Yes, we do believe that the gospel should go to the Gentiles, and that we will not require anything of them, you know, other than that, you know, they don't eat." They stay away from fornication. They don't eat meat that's been offered to idols or meat cooked in its own blood.
Right.
And a few regulations. And oddly enough, some of those regulations, other than fornication, were table things. Like, if we got to eat with these guys, like, just let them back off a little bit, so that we're not utterly disgusted every time we go to have lunch, is kind of the way they did it. And then they released Paul, and of course he had already been to the Gentile churches before the Council of Jerusalem, in his first missionary journey, and then his other ones he went to more. Yeah. So he's talking to the Galatians and saying, you guys, you were free. Don't go back to the regulations of the law. And I really feel for the Judaizers, because these are guys that were raised quite properly in the Old Testament ways, you know, and raised to do things that were totally appropriate, like given to them by God. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along, and then Paul comes along, and they're saying, yeah, you don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
You know, and we've talked about this, you and I, at Christmas time, when we've talked about, you know, you marry a person, and all of a sudden you find out their family traditions, which are so different than your family traditions, you know, and it's there's a time of adapting, right? And those are things that don't even matter, you know.
Right.
You know, stuff like in my family, my dad would come down and we would wait till he had breakfast, and then when he was ready, we would all sit and open our presents together, and we'd open them one at a time and everybody'd look. And in Lynn's family, they would just all come. I don't know what they did. It was just some crazy free-for-all. just some totally heathen.
Consumerism type.
Yeah. Just tear stuff apart. And, and, you know, so you had to get used to these different traditions. Well, those traditions didn't matter. But these traditions at the Judaizers, they were more than just traditions. They were part of the law that they were raised with, and so to give that up, to accept Gentiles into the group, to accept non-Jew, anybody who was not Jewish was a Gentile, to accept non-Jewish people into the group, was very difficult for them to do.
Yeah.
And so,
I was going to say, it's like our Muslim brothers and sisters that would come to Christ, having to let go of all that. Ceremony and worship that they used to do to Allah, and move that to Jesus is very, very hard, I'm sure.
Very difficult stuff. Very difficult. And of course, in our case, you know, they were raised in Judaism, which was the forerunner to Christianity.
Right.
And so everything they did was right until Jesus came, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. And that would be super hard to do. So Paul is dealing with a group of Christians that have been asked to go back, and he's telling them you can't.
Right.
In, you know, in his usual Pauline harsh kind of way. Yeah. I don't think Paul would have been easy to get along with.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Paul didn't read that Norman Vincent Peale book on, you know, how to win friends and influence people.
No, he did not care. No. You know, you don't get stoned and left for dead and beaten with if you're just a sweet, nice guy.
Okay, folks, well, let's jump in. Galatians 1, for those of you playing the at-home edition, Galatians 1, verse 1. We'll just take a look at the introduction here. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God, our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Standard way that a letter starts, the author will mention himself and then mention why he is appropriate to do this letter. And that's what he's done. There's usually a thanksgiving in here. This grace and peace is part of that. And so that's what he said. He said, Paul, and he makes it very clear that I was sent by Jesus Christ to do this thing, right? And to all the brothers and sisters that are with me are happy. So he does have this group of people with him when he's doing this. And, you know, grace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. That's still the age that we are living in, by the way.
Yeah.
We're still living in this present evil age. We're waiting for the age to come.
Right.
You know, Revelation scholars always call it the already not yet. That we're already in this age, but it has not yet come, and the age that we're living in is evil. And that's kind of nice to know, because there's a piece of you that says, you know, the world's going to get better. There used to be a group that felt like the world was going to get better and better, and then we're going to usher in the coming of Christ. And that's not going to happen.
Just get that out there.
Yeah. Just putting it out.
Forget that, everyone. Yeah. Okay. Verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion, are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so I now say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse.
Yeah, so here's Paul doing the very Pauline thing, where he's saying that that we're preaching the gospel of Christ. This other gospel that they're saying is just this gospel where they say you need to accept Christ, but you still need to follow the standards of the law. So this isn't works like James is talking about works. Like, this is not good works. This is actually going back and following the Old Testament laws as well as that. And Paul says this cannot happen. I like this, where he says even if an angel of heaven preached this thing, he would be wrong.
You know,
and you'd be under God's curse if you preached anything else. So they are coming against him, and he is fighting back.
Yeah.
Though, kind of nice to live in a time when you could have these kind of discussions. Mind you, when they canceled you at this time, they canceled you with rocks.
That's right. They didn't say get off Twitter and Instagram. It's like, No, get behind in that pit, and we're going to throw some stones at you. This will be.
Yeah. And so, did you do, am I now trying to win? No, you didn't do that yet.
Okay. Verse 10 now, folks. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
I think Paul wanted people to like him. You'd never know it from his writings, but but he is so strong in his commitment to Christ. He was just saying, I'm just not trying to win your approval. I'm telling you the way it is.
Yeah.
We would call that, in this day and age, I think we would call that a prophetic gift. Where you see things very black and white. You don't see any much of a. There are other books where he has a little bit of an allowance for stuff. Not this one.
Yeah.
Not this one. Yeah.
It's kind of a pattern, isn't it? Because you see it in Stephen, you see it in Peter, and you see it in Paul as well.
Yeah. These guys in their lives, in their writings, just stood for Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah.
No compromise.
No
compromise. Yeah. And yet, I think there's places where you can compromise, but not in the things of Jesus.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah. Verse 11 now, folks. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and his revelation, as you recall, was on the road to Emmaus. No, not on the road to Emmaus. What am I? The two on the road to Emmaus were.
I knew what you were going to say. He was in Acts
when he was, and they brought him to the street, the straight street, the street called Straight. Remember?
Yeah.
And that's where he had the scales, and he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, you're kicking against the goats.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. And then was it Ananias came forward and. The New Testament Ananias,
yeah,
not the Old Testament Ananias. The New Testament. I don't know why they ever used that name after that guy screwed up so bad.
That's right.
Ananias in the New Testament came to him, and God removed the scales.
Yeah.
So So that's where he received his revelation from Jesus Christ about who he was going to speak to.
Yeah. Verse 12 now. For you have heard of
I wanted to say one other thing here.
Yes, please do.
When he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, in the King James, did it not say, I do not want you to be ignorant?
Let's see. Brothers. We can flip over to that.
Can we?
Oh, we've got...
It might be in a different book that he says that. King James.
Oops. If I could use the alphabet, I'd be great right now.
Yeah. You're doing fine.
Oh, sure.
Where does he say?
That verse, I certify to you, God. So here's 11 and 12 where we were.
But I certify to you. Oh, no, it's a different book where he said, I do not want you ignorant brethren. Because I was thinking in Bible college, the girls put that over their dorm. We do not want you ignorant brethren. We'll have to find that book some other. That might have been Corinthians that he said.
Yeah. Well, they're not. Okay. They're not wrong. No. We just want to throw it out there, ladies. We don't know why you have us. But anyway, 13, right?
Yeah.
For you have heard of my previous life, previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, eh? That he says, when God set me apart from my mother's womb, it almost sounds like there's always that big argument between sovereignty and free will.
Mm-hmm.
And does God choose who's saved? Do we have any part in being saved, in becoming Christians, or is that something that God has chosen? And here he kind of leans toward, God set me apart from my mother's womb for this job, right?
Yeah.
Now he did accept it when he on that road in the street. He did accept this, but he said, I mean, this was something that I was always called to do.
Right.
And now Pentecostals, we tend to believe that, you know, through our preaching, the Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus, but it's a choice that they make. And for some of the Reformed, it's God has already picked who's going to become Christians. It doesn't change the job of us to, for us, we're going out and finding people and bringing them in. For them, they're going out and preaching the gospel, and then the ones that God wants comes in.
Hmm.
And so there's a little bit of a different flavor there, but this one kind of leans their way more than ours just a little bit.
Yeah.
There's other stuff that leans our way more than theirs. So
yeah.
So it's both there.
Yeah.
And then he says what he says to them. He says, I didn't go right away. I waited before I went up to Damascus.
Hmm.
Yeah. He went into Arabia for a few years. It's going to be 3 years this time, and then in chapter 2, he's going to talk about 14 years that he's away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like you said, very interesting. Interesting. Verse 18 now. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie.
Yeah, and there must have been a bit of a feeling that there was a bit of falsehood in him. And he's saying, no, he said, I became a Christian and I studied all this stuff and for 3 years before I came back. This wasn't a ploy of any kind.
Yeah.
Remember he was let down off the wall and all that stuff. And he said, there's no ploy here, and I waited before I came back to the apostles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty intriguing stuff.
Yeah. Well, and especially if you think he was doing this for his own advantage. You would have played those cards right away. to get inside the church and destroy it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, if he was, if this was part of the going undercover.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was saying no. It's obviously, you know, you don't you know, you don't get beaten up a few times. Well, you do, I guess, if you're undercover in any of the good movies we watch.
Yeah, but that stone part where you're almost dead—that's too far.
It is a bit much.
That's commitment to the undercover work. But no, he didn't do that. Verse 21 now, folks. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard this report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me.
Yeah. So the same stuff he said to the Corinthians, he said, you know, I was destroying the church, and Jesus came, and now I'm not. It also reminds us, I read a thing just recently with where they had a whole bunch of people, you know, former Ku Klux Klan guy that became a Christian, former some of these gang guys that became Christians, and
yeah,
former witches that became Christians, and that are living totally for Christ. And Paul puts himself in the category with, well, he calls himself in another place, I was chief of sinners.
Yeah.
I remember one of the guys saying, Paul always had a very high opinion of himself. Even when he calls himself a sinner, he says, I was chief. I was the greatest amongst them. Yeah. Hilariously good writer.
Yeah.
Good writer, that guy was.
Yeah.
But Paul has, so what he's trying to tell him is, you cannot go back to where you were. Look at the stuff that I've suffered.
Yeah.
And I've suffered it to push forward the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the most important thing of all. Yeah. And he's gonna push this a little further in chapter 2.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. I think what I find so amazing about Paul's story, about how he, you know, he's so committed to Christ, is I think that's part of it, right? Because of all the suffering he went through, why would he do this just for, I mean, just for fun? I mean, come on, this is crazy. And I wonder, those people that came from the furthest back appreciate their faith so much more than those of us that, you know, like I came to Christ as a 15, 16 year old. Maybe not the easiest path, but not the hardest path, that's for sure. And I wonder if you just, you know, if you go through things like Paul did, you appreciate your faith so much more. You know what you've come from.
And the thing was, is, I mean, he was a servant of God. And he really felt, when he was killing Christians, he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do, which is really weird in its own sight, right? And then when he becomes a Christian, you know, he's sent to the Gentiles and just ticks everybody off again. So, but he just you know, he pushes through with this stuff, and you know, and he was brilliant, because if you read in the book of Acts when they were talking to him. And King, one of the guys was, one of the kings, which one was it?
Was it Agrippa?
Agrippa. When Agrippa's talking to him, and he says, your great learning has driven you mad. But he acknowledged just what a scholar he was.
Yeah.
Even in that, he said, you're brilliant, but what you're saying is nuts.
Yeah, yeah. If they had fruitcakes, he would have said, Paul, you're nutty as a fruitcake. But they didn't.
You're just, you've gone bonkers, man.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah. And he says, but then later he says, you would almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul says, I would wish you were just like me, except for these chains.
Yes.
Which was very nice, because I would have been thinking, I wish you were in these chains.
Thanks for nothing, Agrippa.
Yeah. But then that's when they said, if he hadn't have appealed to Caesar, we'd let him go right now.
Yeah.
But we have to send him to Rome.
Yeah.
And that's where, of course, he goes there and dies there. Yeah,
My friend, that was a beautiful introduction to Galatians 1 and Paul's pleading for them to not retreat but to press forward in their faith. That's fantastic. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. I don't know if you can tell, Larry and I actually like doing this. We enjoy each other's company. It's just fun that you get to come along with us. There's lots of things that happen that you can't see in behind the scenes, because we can see each other and you can't. So, but it's something we so enjoy doing for you. We'll be back in a week's time. Guess what? It's Galatians 2. I know. I know. It's shocking. It's a revelation. But we'll look forward to seeing you when we pick it up next week. Until then, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalypse Podcast.